Tom G. I know Tom is all right. He's going to talk about both A and M, and there's a double winner. So you got it, Tom.
Tom, alcoholic.
Hey, Tom!
Move over to the podium here. It's working?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think last night when we were doing introductions, I said I was all non-adjacent, which is probably pretty accurate. I really didn't start. Well, first one with my A's, so I got sober August 5th, 2015, and probably started going to Al-Anon a year later, up until right before the pandemic. And so fellow members in AA had encouraged me to go to Al-Anon. I didn't really think I qualified for Al-Anon because I didn't have any active alcoholics in my immediate family. My parents didn't really drink. But at that time, not only was I really getting sober, I was going through first a separation from my now ex-wife and then ultimately divorce. And even though she wasn't an addict, she had mental illness, has mental illness. She suffered from severe depression as well as what I later found out she had what they call complex PTSD. And kind of similar to what Val was talking about, I tried, there's a lot of red flags before we got married. On her side of things, maybe a few months before we got together, she had tried to commit suicide. She was telling me her upbringing. She was physically, mentally, sexually abused by her father, and just really rough. But I tried to play savior and thought I could cure all that. And that's when alcoholism really came into play. I mean, certainly, I started drinking my first drink when I was 14, and then when I got to college, it really took off. But with that marriage, it kind of took to a different level of running to alcohol to get away from, that issue. So, and when I think about it, I really do have qualifiers with Al-Anon just because, on both my parents' side of the families are long lines of alcoholics. And I think my parents definitely had the isms as far as when it came to me and my upbringing. I grew up, upper middle class neighborhood, went to good schools and all that stuff. But the salient moment of that was I went to public high school up through junior high, and all my friends were in those schools. And then my parents decided that the public high school wasn't going to be good enough and dragged me out and put me into an all-male Catholic high school. One problem with that was I was one of three African-American kids in this school. The other problem was most of those kids had been going to school with each other since middle school. And so I had no friends and was just relentlessly bullied and racially so. And I went from this gregarious, outgoing kid to just pulling up in my room and reading fantasy books and listening to Yes. Isms come in my parents' side is they didn't talk about shit. Well, my grades were fine. It was no problems, right? And he was a kid that went from having a lot of friends to just sitting up in his room and they didn't say anything. So I had that all kind of bottled in until I got to college. And then, when I got to college, boom, it was on. And joined a frat. Did all the crazy college shit, and just let loose. And, you know, kind of shared earlier, I just didn't really have any real repercussions in college to my drinking. And it was just, people just always kind of like wanted to bail me out, even my professors. And I was telling somebody the other day, like, in my college, we had this thing called a J-term. You could take the month of January and do these programs and stuff. I mean, this one called Plays and Shows of London. And really what it was just pub crawls. And we had one of the chaperones was a philosophy professor, Mr. Liska. And we just partied all the time. And I ended up taking his class, like my second semester senior year, and I went to one class, took the exam, failed, and then he called me in his office and he's like, "Tom, man, I should fail." And he's like, "But you're not going to graduate if I fail you, right?" I'm like, "No." "All right, well, what kind of grade do you think I should give you then?" I was like, "Yeah, C plus would be good." He's like, "I'll give you C minus." So I'm like, "All right." But that kind of shit happens all the time. And so I had no repercussions of my drinking and just thought all this was kind of normal. And then, as I was saying, you know, it kind of really took off once I got in that marriage. And, you know, like Val, I went after the hot chick and ignored all the warning signs. And, there was just a lot of chaos. And, you know, she ended up having an affair shortly, like 3 or 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years into our marriage. And that was shortly after I got a DUI. And that's when I first came into the program, but I wasn't ready at all. And I did a deferred prosecution and just got my slip signed. And, you know, the only reason I had a sponsor was because this guy came up to a meeting. He used to be a lineman for USC. He was like 6'5", 300 pounds. He just came up to me and said, "I'm going to be your sponsor." I don't want to get beat up. So, okay. And then I remember, you know, I was in the program when I found out about the affair, and I called him. You know, he basically hung out with me all night because I was like, I'm going to drink. And then, I didn't. But, you know, it had nothing to do with wanting to be sober. It's probably more fear that guy trying to beat me up. But anyway, you know, I kind of white-knuckled it through my deferred prosecution as soon as that was over, back at it. And things just got worse and worse and worse. Then I got to the point where I just hit my bottom. I remember I was in sales. I'm retired now, but I was out with some clients, and it was probably the umpteenth time that I had promised my ex that I wasn't going to drink and just come home in a reasonable hour after this happy hour I went out with these clients. And I was dead set on, hey, I'm just going to have 2 beers and go home. And flashed to a few hours later, and I was like an all night drunk. This is fucking nuts. And blacked out, and it just scared the shit out of me. It's like, I really don't have any control over this. So I decided to check myself into Lakeside Milam, IOP. Probably many Lakeside Milam alums out there. But, you know, of course I had to have one last drunk before I went in. And the job I had at the time, I worked in Canada a lot. So I was up in Vancouver, BC. And had the worst drunk of my life, just miserable. I remember I was like, I ended up making out with this ugly chicken. I mean, it's like, you do that. And my friends are like, "Dude, what?" And then getting in a fight in another bar and getting kicked out. And then driving home with my boss. just miserable. My God, I gotta fucking rehab, man. And it was weird. And I thought he didn't directly say anything, but as we were driving, he starts talking about his life and his family, and his wife's dad was a bad alcoholic, and he was just talking about how miserable that made them, and how, you know, he's having a relationship with it. I was like, yeah, well, it's kind of but anyway, I went in, and I didn't look back after I got an IMP. I mean, I think what really resonated with me, and I don't know, I think when I was working with really my first sponsor, who had a lot of sponsees, and just told me, hey, read the first 164 pages and just get back to me when you want to go to work. And I remember reading it. I did all my reading because I was still with my wife. We're separated. We weren't even separated, really. I was living in the house in the basement, and she was living in the upper floors. But she was like, I don't want your laundry touching my laundry. So I did all my reading for the AA and the laundromat down in Rainier Valley in my house. And just sitting in the laundromat reading, and one kind of pissed me was, I don't know where it was in the book, but I was just like, God, I don't know anything. I know nothing. And I used to think I knew everything. I used to think I could control everything. And then I figured out that moment, I was like, I control nothing, I know nothing. And then in other readings, when I read page 417 on acceptance, that was kind of the final thing. That one part where they say that you accepted your alcoholism. Because I had been denying that I was an alcoholic for so long, despite all the evidence. I thought that alcoholics were losers, you know. I was pretty out of functioning. I had a lot of shit. I did well at my work and all that. And once I realized that, then that's when things really started to turn for me. And then, it's opened up a whole new world. And then kind of flashing back to Al-Anon was really important to me when I was going through that separation and ultimately the divorce with my ex-wife, in just giving me the tools around that. Talk about codependence and being an enabler. I mean, that was big time with me. I read this book by Pia Melody called, I think it's Love Addict, Real Love Addiction, and just blew my mind. Because it did not see my codependence part in a relationship. I thought my ex was the one that was codependent, because she didn't have any friends. Everything kind of went through me. I drank the room away from all that, and it was both of us that were codependent. I was an enabler in her mental illness, for sure. And, Al-Anon gave me the structure around setting boundaries with her. Detachment with love, for sure. All those wonderful tools that you get out of Al-Anon really helped me work through that. And really kind of, definitely more than the AA, gave me the courage to leave her and get a divorce. It gave me structure about it. So I was really, really thankful for that, having that resource in Al-Anon, and it was certainly a gift. And now that I look at my life, I mean, you know, you talk about the promises in AA, you know, my first interpretation of the promises was, I'm going to get a bunch of shit if I just stay sober. Wrong, but, you know, a lot of the promises came true for me after that divorce, which was really hard. My friends know how hard it's been. It's still going, even though I've been divorced for 5 years. It's another long story. But somebody new, was the love of my life, my soulmate, and we had 5 wonderful years together. Unfortunately, she passed away from ovarian cancer last year. And talk about a lesson of not being in control. Yeah, but if it wasn't for this program and Al-Anon, the tools that I got out of those programs, I wouldn't have been able to go through that. And I think I heard either last night or maybe today but about people talking about other avenues besides just AA, Al-Anon, to get help. I've been going to therapy pretty much ever since I got sober. But in that loss, I really needed to get into the grief groups. And I jumped in that pretty much right away. And, you know, because of having Al-Anon and AA, as a background on that, it was an easy thing for me to jump into. And it's got to the point where I'm actually starting a grief group. It's going to start. First meeting's next week. So, yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing. And, you know, recently I met someone unexpectedly at this workshop that was supposed, I thought it was about a career workshop. As I mentioned, I recently retired and I was going to have like a stress test my thoughts on retirement, but this thing turned out to be more of a life transition workshop, and it ended up being 28 of us, 26 women, me, one other married guy. So my odds were good at meeting somebody. The interesting thing about this workshop was all these women were going through, you know, major life transitions of divorce, empty nesters, menopause, and in crisis. And they had no community back home. And, you know, we'd get these big circles and people would share just like an AA meeting. And, I mean, half the women was just like, I don't have anybody to talk to. I've got nobody at home. And I'd be sitting there going, good. I got this whole AA community at home and a posse of friends, and you know, I don't have these issues. And it just made me that much more thankful for AA. And I remember there was this guy that was our meditation teacher at this workshop who was 25 years sober. He'd been through AA, but I don't think he was really practicing AA too much, but he was definitely talking the talk. But anyway, I grabbed breakfast with him one day, and he had to pay him for his time, and he's just like, dude, why are you even wasting your money on me? He's like, you're great. I'm jealous of you. Okay. And he's like, all these women are just fucked up. They drink too much, they're out of pee, they're fat. Anyway, it's just been such a gift to have this community, you know, both AA and Al-Anon, and it is really special. It's something that people really, you know, they don't really have that, right? Everybody's, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of struggling out there alone, maybe, you know, sober or not, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity that I've gotten out of this, and we'll see. And now I've got this new relationship that I'm trying to navigate, and she doesn't live in the state, so that's interesting too. But I definitely, you know, we talk about acceptance, as I was talking about before. It's just, I've kind of come to the belief that certain things kind of happen for a reason, for sure. And, I kind of coasted through life when I was drinking. I lost my father when I wasn't sober. but I didn't have any other things major happen in my life. It's, you know, the DUI thing was, like, to me at the time, was like, it's kind of normal. All the chaos happening with my wife, that's kind of normal, right? Because I had all to kind of numb all that shit out. And then now that, you know, my sobriety, a lot of heavy shit hit, right? Especially losing my partner, divorce, expired from a job in sobriety. Lost my dog right before Thanksgiving last year. So, a lot of shit. But I get to walk through it sober. I don't have to numb it. I can feel it. You know, when we do these grief groups, a lot of talk is about feeling that grief. Don't push it down. Take it in. Sit with it. And I've learned that skill, you know, not only with grief, but like just, you know, honest emotions. Joy. Enjoy the moment. There's so many times where I'm just kind of like, something's great happening, and then my alcoholic brain goes, okay, what's going to go wrong? Right? Instead of enjoying it. Right? So, and this new relationship. So I think I'm out with time. All right, thanks. Thank you.